play the radio. Make sure the television, excuse me, make sure you have the record player on at night.
I'll be cunt, I'm going to punch him out. This is
oh,
my
wow,
mom.
I would pay to see that.
I'm waiting for this, for trespassing on the
trespassing
grounds. I'm going to punch him out, and I'm going to go to jail, and I'm going to be happy. I'm going to punch him out, and I'm going to go to jail, and I'm going to be happy.
We'll all be happy, Nancy.
Are those who just try to make this a political issue. Freedom. I have the freedom to kill you with my shoulder.
Individuals who are infected through breakthrough infections, namely vaccinated people who ultimately get infected, that they are generally without symptoms or minimally symptomatic. However, it is clear that they are capable of transmitting the infection to uninfected individuals. And the data that they reported indicates that if you look at the level of virus in the nasopharynx of a person who's vaccinated and has a breakthrough infection, and compare that to the level of virus in the nasopharynx of an unvaccinated person who's infected, they're essentially equivalent.
Play the radio. Make sure the television, excuse me, make sure you have the record player on at night.
I'm going to go to jail. I'm going to be happy.
Well, I'm here and I'm live, and it's the news, according to me. Well, good morning. It is a live broadcast at the moment, and unfortunately, I have no cup. I just realized I left my cup out in the other room. I might have to play a bumper or something, maybe, in order to make this happen this morning. I do have some bumpers I can play, but I don't know if I'm going to do that or not. We'll see how it goes. It is Friday morning, Friday, the August 4th, beginning of the month here. First live broadcast of the month. 10/22/2023, and I have just decided this morning I'm going to executive decision to be here at the worldwide headquarters this morning and have a show that's live. Have something I haven't done for a while from here. And here I am. I'm live on the show. So here, let's go. Let's go. Let's just get right on with it. I've got a couple things I want to talk about. I always get so disgusted at the beginning of my show because there's so much to talk about. So many things that are just upsetting. And I don't want to just have a show that's always upsetting to people. And I don't want to come here on the show upset every day. There have been some good things happening. I guess one of the things that I just learned this morning from Mark Dice is that there's been a cutback or a complete drop of all the woke crap, most of it at Disneyland, or Disney World, I guess. Disney World? It's one in Florida, Disneyland. It is, and probably Disney World as well, maybe. I don't know. California's a little different. But the state of Florida put a lot of pressure on Disneyland. And apparently, they were able to get them to push back on all of their woke training. And there's even some people, I think, in the state, I believe, who are saying, because they basically had there was a policy. I don't know if it was this company. I don't know if it was Disneyland or not. But there's another company policy or some other companies that had some policies where they were saying they had to hire people who were non-white and non-male. This is extreme prejudice. Now, the fact that people get away, this is only in one state. So, you know that there are companies and there are businesses and there are actually state entities that are doing this kind of thing. This is anti-whiteism. This is bias. It's bigotry towards... This is how it always goes down. Let me try to explain to you how this always happens. It's a divide and conquer mentality that happens within the Marxist mentality. See, what we have here is a collection. I use the word collection very carefully. Of collectivist mentality. You have the Marxists who don't always get along with the communists, who don't always get along with the Leninists and Stalinists. The socialist and the every other ists that are out there. Among all of those, the all of them combined are basically different types of collectivism. Whether it's democratic socialism or whatever you want to call it, democratic socialism. It's a way of dividing and conquering. So what they do is they divide us up by sects, by groups, by whether it's class, income levels, billionaires, millionaires and billionaires, or whether it's race, gender, sexual preference, whatever it is. They like to divide people up in this. By doing that, they can pit you against each other, and they can make it look like your enemy is one particular group. So what they do is they notch out this group of people, that's individuals that they can blame everything on. So they're blaming everything on the white man. If you're male and you're white, and the cherry on top is if you're Christian, you are the problem. You are the evil one. You are the reason for all their woes and all their troubles. It's not their poor life decisions. It's never that. It's the issue of the nature of their, just what the way they were born, with their skin color. But that's okay, because they're privileged. They have all this privilege. And if they say anything back about it, if they push back and say, no, this is not fair, it's unfair. Well, that's just because you're just white. You just have white privilege. You're just a privilege. You had too much for too long. Now it's time for you to take the back seat, sit in the back of the bus. This is the way I think Barack Obama actually said that. You've had your chance to drive, get out of the seat. You know, it's somebody else's turn now. This is bigotry. This is not unification. This is not calling us together for a common cause to defeat racism at all. This is racism. But they don't see it that way. Because white man, boogeyman, bad. Donald Trump is the representative of all those boogeyman bad people. He's the head boogeyman. Should be eliminated at all costs. This is where we run into this problem, because once you vilify a particular group, now what happens when that group is thoroughly crushed? They're going to pick on the next group. And then the next group. It'll be white females after a while. White females will be next. And that'll be anyone who is heterosexual. But it will keep on going. I'm sure. I don't know when it's going to happen, but I am sure that at some point, Christianity will be vilified. It's under the surface right now. But there is a bubbling up right now, a boiling point that we're going to reach. Where people are, if you read any comments on any of the YouTube videos that talk about Christianity or anything else that are not Christian channels or channels that are known to be Christian people, if they mention anything about Christians, you'll hear seething comments about Christianity. constantly. Because they are the next group. They are the group that will be vilified at some point. And it's when they reach a critical mass point, this is the way it always happens. When it reaches a critical mass, Christianity will be vilified, and you will see protests and everything else flat out, blatantly in their face. Now, in California, this has already happened. There's actually groups that go around to churches, and they actually walk into the churches and protest inside the churches and shut down the services. This happens in California. Most recently it's happened in San Diego, or not San Diego, San Francisco. And they don't do anything about it. The authorities will not do anything about it because it's, you know, they have the right to protest. So it's become this very, very tense situation out there. And essentially, you're basically, you know, pushing people, you're persecuting people back into home church situations. Which I'm not, it's neither good nor bad. It's not a problem. It's just that it's happened. So we have this weird stuff going on like this. And I'm telling you, it's going to happen. It's you know, the flyover states, the red states that they don't care about. Those are the states with the most conservative values, family values, Christian values. They're poo-pooed by everybody on the East and West Coast. All the Hollywood types that are very vocal, they can be very vocal about their opinions. But if you're an actor in Hollywood, you dare not say anything about being conservative or a Republican or a Christian, no less. You will never work again. It'll be very difficult for you to get work. Be treated like an outcast, marked for the rest of your life. This is what happens. It is the only acceptable form of persecution. It's the only group of people that can be persecuted and shamed and discriminated against without any impunity, basically. There's nothing, nobody does anything about it. So that's where we are today. The state that I know this is going to happen. It's just a matter of time where we have a large group of probably organizations that are basically just flat out rally against Christianity and the Christian church and any kind of Judeo-Christian churches or even the Jews probably have a little more history fighting back against this kind of stuff, pushing back against this kind of stuff because of some of the anti-Semitic things that happen even from the church, from the Christian. Let me go ahead and I'm just going to dive into this. I know it's not a very... there are some pastor friends of mine that I know they mean well. But there is some disdain for the Jewish people. What most Christian colleges, seminaries teach does not align with, if you just take a step back from Scripture just for a moment and look at the whole thing, rather than just looking at little verses here and there. You realize that Christianity was supposed to be the fulfillment of Judaism, not another religion altogether. The difference between the Jewish faith and the Christian faith is supposed to be basically that we believe that Messiah has come, the Jewish Messiah. Now, he wasn't just the Messiah for the Jews, he was the Messiah for the world. However, he came through the Jewish faith. A people whose faith was built on obeying the word of God. And people like to throw out the Old Testament. Here's where it really originated. And I'm going to go ahead. I've got Catholic friends, and I'm going to pick on you for a moment. Because you need to understand a little bit of it's so shallow in terms of, I'm not digging down deep into the history of the church here, but I'm just going to say it this way. The Catholic Church, the Roman Catholic Church, had so many compromises in its establishment, which almost every denomination that ever has existed does. No religion is exempt from this, from man's involvement in its tainting of the, because there's no religion, so to speak, no religious organization that is perfect or that has, you know, the 100% stamp of God's approval on it. Now and for the Catholic Church to think that they do, to think that their Pope is infallible or that his word actually supersedes the Bible, it's just a little bit scary, when you think something about that. Now, the Catholic Church, most of the reformations that have been made throughout the years, such as the Lutheran movement, the Anabaptist movement, any kind of anything in there that you, most of it has been reformation from the Roman Catholic Church. It is reformed Roman Catholicism. It is not fulfilled Judaism. So there's this attempt to have some principles that take us back closer to our roots. However, we have to face the fact that most of what we understand as the Western culture church is Reformed Catholicism, not fulfilled Judaism. And I think that until the church kind of starts to, and I think there is a movement, actually. I've seen this in many, many, many churches now. Many more, I guess I should say. Growing up, I never heard this, saw this, the whole idea. In fact, I used to hear things about if you look at the history of the Roman Catholic Church, quite frankly, they have taken just about every, I want to say icon, that's not really the right word, every symbology, everything that there is about about Jewish faith, the feasts, the festivals, all that stuff, has been changed and twisted, and the dates have been changed. This idea that Sabbath is on Sunday, in fact. Well, Jesus changed it, or it was changed with John on the island of Patmos. They changed it. No, Sabbath was never changed. Now, when you want to take a Sabbath, that's up to you. Sunday, the reason it's on the first day on your calendar and the first day of the week is because it was the first day of the week. Saturday was the seventh day, the Sabbath day, Saturday, Sabbath day, Shabbat. And it has really become, twisted. And I've heard people say, no, it was changed. When exactly was it changed? And how was it changed? And where do we find in Scripture that anyone said it was changed, that Sabbath was changed? Shabbat is still Saturday. Now, if you work a particular job or you want to take, if you want to make your Sabbath on Sunday, if you want to make your Sabbath on Wednesday, you want to take your day off then and you have your day of rest, that's fine. But you have to recognize that Shabbat is Saturday. And the reason I'm saying I'm not saying it that if you don't, you're going to hell. No, you have to recognize it because you're going to recognize truth. There is some very interesting things about the way Messiah fulfilled the spring feasts in his first coming. And there will be a second coming. Mashiach ben Yosef and Mashiach ben David, a David. There are two comings. The first time was on a donkey. The second time will be as the warrior. And unfortunately, the Christian church has this strange way of looking at the Jews as if, well, they don't believe in Jesus, so they're going to hell. They're not believers. They're all under the law. Can't follow them. It's just, there's so many things there that are just wrong with the way the church approaches the Jewish faith and understand. We're missing so much. We're just missing out on so much because of this changing and rejection of things that are Jewish. And there has been a strong sense of anti-Semitism within the Christian church. And I think it stems from the Catholic basis of things, unfortunately, over the years. Some are worse than others. It's a type of replacement. And it's just, I don't know how else to put it. So anyway, I got off on this spiritual stuff way too soon there. We'll talk a little bit about, I don't have a whole lot of time for a whole big long show here, but I do want to talk a little bit about the Trump cases and what's going on there. This as people start reading the indictment, they're starting to realize there's no substance to this. Everybody's coming out and saying, what did he actually do? Well, he told lies. He told lies about the election. He committed fraud by telling lies. Excuse me. It could be argued that those were not lies. Now, there's a difference between someone telling a lie and someone saying something that's not true. Let me help you understand this for a second. If something happens to me and I believe a certain thing about it, let's say someone vandalizes my building, someone vandalizes my car, whatever it is, that some vandal does something to me, and I believe a certain person did it, because I've put together this whole thing in my head where I think that this person did it. I even saw some video. It looks like somebody on the video. This person looks like that person on the video, and I see that person. I believe that person did it. Based on everything I know and everything I've understood, I believe that to be true. Now, what if that person didn't actually do it? Does that make me a liar? This is just, I'm just walking down this road with me just for a second. I'm not saying this is what happened to Trump here. I'm just saying, does that make me a liar? Because I believe that person did it. And I say, I believe that person did it. It does not make me a liar. It makes me wrong. There's a big difference there. Now, if I know that person didn't do it, I know somebody else did it, but I want to get that other person in trouble. And I start saying, I believe that person did it. I don't really believe it. And that person didn't do it. And I know they didn't do it. That's called a lie. Now, if I say the reason the sky is blue is because the moon reflects off of the sun, or reflects the sun's light, creates a refraction and changes the color of the sky. Well, I haven't accused anybody of anything. And what I've said is false. It's not true. Is it a crime? If people believe it, is it a crime? If people do something because, well, we need to blow up the moon. We need to go out and blow up the moon. So people start up a thing and they go out and they blow up the moon so they can change the color of the earth, so the color of the sky. Am I responsible for that? for their actions because I made a statement about what I believe? Am I criminally liable for what they criminally did? This is where we're going with this stuff. And really, it's thought crimes. Well, Trump wanted to overturn the election. As if he was somehow directing from behind the scenes, he was somehow doing something that was directing these people. Now, I don't know. I heard the other day that apparently one of the January 6th people are saying that Trump told them to go inside the building. Not directly, but through his communication. That they went in there because of Trump, because Trump told them to do it. I don't know that I ever heard anybody with that testimony, but somebody the other day said that, I heard this on one of the things I listened to, and it probably was a MSNBC. I tend to listen to MSNBC, so you don't have to once in a while, but it may have been something I listened to on MSNBC or CNN, who said something about one of the January 6th people said that Trump told him to do it. Well, first of all, who are you robots out there that just do everything a politician's going to tell you to do? It's very strange to me that they're going after Trump on this to blame him for these people attacking the Capitol building with the intent to overturn the election. I don't know that there was an attempt to overturn the election. And number two, I think Mike Pence could have stood there in the Capitol building, in the Congressional House, where those guys were running around with the podium and everything else was going on. He could have stood there and no one would have harmed him. I'm sure there would have been a lot of yelling and screaming. I would bet my, I don't know, something. I'd bet my something. My cup of chai. That no one would have even touched Mike Pence. The conspiracy charges that went out to these guys, the conspiracy to incite, to disrupt a meeting, basically is what it was. A formal, what do they call it? A formal something. Event, whatever. Administrative event of the... This is basically little more than trespassing. Now, it's been after the fact several years now, a couple years now, since it's happened. And people are still already trying to rewrite what happened. I still see Bill Barr. Now, what amazes me is anytime you see supposedly Republicans or conservatives, they still like to use that word. Whenever you see Republicans going on MSNBC or CNN to say something bad about Trump or what the indictments or anything else that's going on. I saw this morning there was a report that showed John Bolton on CNN talking about the Trump indictments. John Bolton speaks out on the Trump indictments. Who cares what John Bolton says, first of all? No conservatives care about what John Bolton says. No conservatives care about what Chris Christie says. Now, somebody, I think it was on Newsmax possibly, was pushing back on Chris Christie and saying, do you really think you have a shot at this? Do you really think, why are you in this race? What are you doing? What are you trying to accomplish here? Do you really think at the end of the day you're going to, so then he says, so if you win the nomination, what are you going to do? What are you going to change? And he also said, if Trump wins the nomination, are you going to support him? He knows full well, when we talk about a liar and a deceiver, somebody who's defrauding people, he's not in this race to win it. He's in this race because he wants to shoot his mouth off. Someone's paying him. He's doing his bidding for someone else. Oh, then he asked him this really interesting question. He said, so if Trump wins the nomination and he picks you as his VP, will you take it? Will you accept the position? He said, I think everybody knows full well that Donald Trump will not pick me as his VP. And yet everybody knows at this point that Donald Trump is probably going to be the nominee. Now, I don't know what's going to happen between now and November. I'm concerned. I'm extremely concerned about Trump's safety. I'll just put that there. Because these people are capable and willing to do anything. Because, like I've said before, the end justifies the means, and there is nothing that will stop them from that means. I do not believe that the present state of our political stratosphere, the atmosphere right now, especially with the, really, do you trust the FBI? Do you trust the CIA? Do you trust the NRA, the NRI, all these different organizations, the DOD? The DOD probably maybe is the most trustworthy of all of them. However, I know who's running the show right now, and I would say no. I know that there are people within the Department of Defense, and there are soldiers, colonels, and generals who don't like what's happening right now. They don't like the direction things are headed. But they're being very quiet about it. Because they know that if they speak up too soon, they're going to be routed out, you know, forced to retire, whatever it is that happens to them. They're just biding their time right now. There are people in this nation that I know there are people in this nation who understand the geopolitical atmosphere that we have right now, that just nationally, internationally, and understand on even on a local level what's happening here. And they are people who are definitely capable of leading. And I think that there's, when the time is right, that team of people will come together. However, we are far from that right now. What we're about to see, I think, in this nation is a major shaking of things the way we have known them, just based on ideology. Because there are two completely opposing ideologies here, and one cannot sleep with the other. You cannot compromise with this idea of giving up rights, of changing things that the leftists want. We're finding that, I think we're finally figuring out now, when there's a common goal, when there's a common understanding, a common ideology, then we can talk about compromise and how we're going to get from point A to point B. When you have a totally different ideology and you start compromising with that, you're giving up on basic fundamental principles. And you can't do that. You just can't do that. The foundation starts to dissolve, and the house will not stand, which is exactly what they want to have happen. It's exactly what they want to have happen. Therefore, I contend, I would propose to you that there is something going on that's very nefarious right now that is being planned and plotted and trying to work it out. Now, everybody's talking about, oh, this case isn't going to stand. They're going to argue all this stuff for Trump in this D.C. court. You don't understand. It's a simple argument. It's a simple argument of First Amendment rights. And it's this and that. We can contend on this, and on this alone, it should be thrown out. You don't understand, apparently, the culture that you are putting Trump into here. I am surprised after the arraignment that they didn't just throw him in jail until trial date. I'm kind of shocked about that. But I do know, no matter what evidence you present, no matter what you say to this D.C. grand jury and the judge, oh, the man's name is Trump? Yes, throw him in jail for the rest of his life, and then some. And maybe we'll execute him before he dies, actually. This is where they're headed. These are the kind of people that he's up against. They don't care about evidence. All they care about is this end justifying the means. If his name is Trump, they're going to throw him in jail. They don't care about, he lied. Oh, he's a monster. He's a liar. He lied. He lied to the people. You don't think Joe Biden has lied to the people? How many lies has Joe Biden told today? It gets pretty sickening after a while. It gets really annoying when, and I don't want this to make a thing out of, well, Biden did this, and so Trump, they can't hold Trump to this because Biden did that. No, it's not. We take these cases individually. The fact is, Trump's cases, the whole thing against Trump is a sham. The case against Biden, there's hard evidence here of what happened. Recordings, firsthand testimony, documents. They got bank records. And there's this audacity of some of these congressional representatives to come out and talk to the people and say, everything that was testified today exonerates Joe Biden. He had nothing to do. All he did was call up. He just happened to make a phone call at the same time that Hunter was in a business meeting. Or Hunter just happened to call him. Now, Hunter did business with a lot of other people. This guy who testified, who basically flipped on Hunter, flipped on the Bidens, and Bob Alinsky, he did business with more people than just those two. How many other phone calls were made? How many times did you put your dad on speakerphone like he's some kind of sideshow? Oh, look, I got the vice president on the phone. You guys want to listen? You guys want to talk to the vice president? He's right here. Has nothing to do with the business we're conducting right here. Has nothing to do with that. I just want to say hi and talk about the weather. No, that's not the way this works. You're selling access. And it's hey, Dad, I've got this meeting at 10 o'clock today. Make sure you're close to your phone. You're not in some other meeting, so you can't take a... You don't think the vice president is in meetings all the time? He just happens to have his schedule open to call at a certain time when Hunter's having a meeting with these people. What are the odds of that? He's got time to chat. They think we're stupid. Okay, they just think, and unfortunately, I was almost ready to... Yeah, exactly. They're not letting me be CEO, so make them let me play. Hunter Biden wants to be this big shot out there. He's never accomplished anything in his life. He's never actually worked or done anything that anybody would hire him for, other than I've got access to Daddy, and we can change things to make it better for you or worse for you. Either way, you choose. Either give us the $5 million or things will go bad for you, or you can give us the $5 million and we'll make sure that you're protected. You won't be part of these sanctions, for instance, if you're an oligarch over in Russia. I almost wanted to call this show The Dumbing Down of America. We've heard of that before. You've probably heard people use that term before. There are people, I could probably show you 2 hours of video of people on the street being shown pictures of Kamala Harris and asking people who she is, and they don't know who she is. They don't know she's the vice president. There are people who don't even know who the vice president is. There are people who didn't even know that Joe Biden, that they're saying he was, what did he do before he was president? I don't know. I think he worked for Barack Obama. That's like the best answer they'll find. And yeah, but they'll know every single one of the Kardashians' names. That's exactly right. It's exactly what. And I just call this the dumbing down of our society, of our culture. Where people don't, all they do is listen to this music that gives them, it feeds them with all kinds of crazy, weird ideas. Or just distracts them completely anyway. All they care about is getting the next Xbox. Having the, you know, the money to get through the day, to if they've got money in their pocket, they're going to spend it. In fact, they'll spend it before they get it. Now you've got the, I think payday loans, the whole thing where you actually get money before you get your paycheck. We have people now that are not living paycheck to paycheck anymore. They're living before they get their paycheck. They go into to payday loans, and of course they charge you ridiculous amounts of interest on that. So you'll go in on a Monday to get your payday advance because you can't wait until payday to get your bills paid. I've had people do work for me before. They come in and say, "Hey, I want to mow your yard and stuff, and I want to do what else?" And they'll, "But can you pay me before I do the work? Because I need some money for the weekend." So you give them like 50% of it, and then they come back and they don't do any of the work. Well, they've already got their money. They don't care anymore. So you were so far behind. If I would have said, "No, I don't want you to do the work," where have you gotten that money for the weekend? You just wouldn't have done anything over the weekend. Why did you do something over the weekend if you could? People are living beyond their means. They don't have any sense of financial responsibility. Nothing saved for the future because they feel like the government's going to take care of them anyway. They can just print out money and send it to me. You don't realize, you better look at what your Social Security earnings are going to be when you retire, because it's not going to be enough to pay for it. You're not going to be able to live on that, especially if you live on the West Coast or someplace like that. It's a matter of irresponsibility. It's a matter of what it boils down to, folks, is the reason society has become so stupid is because there's no discipline in society anymore. I recently saw a video this morning, and I actually laughed during it, and it really wasn't funny. This guy came into a 7-Eleven, and he has a waste basket, and it's on wheels. I think he just pulled it in off the street. It's like a gas station 7-Eleven type place. He just pulls it in. He starts coming through the 7-Eleven, starts just dumping everything off the shelves into this wastebasket. And they called the police, but of course the police aren't going to show up for 15, 20 minutes or whatever it's going to be. They come in. This guy's dumping all this stuff, and there's like two other employees walking around. They're like, "We can't let this guy." And so he starts rolling this garbage can out the door. He tries to get out the door with it. Well, there was a couple of fellows there who weren't going to allow that to happen. They were employees. One of them pulls out a very large stick. It kind of looked like a cane type stick, but it was actually like a broom handle or something like that. I don't know what it was. It's pretty long. And just starts, one guy kind of takes him down, and the other guy just starts whacking him across the legs. Basically spanking the guy. And just starts smack and wouldn't stop until the guy was basically crying and saying, "Just let me go. Just let me go." Well, they didn't let him go. They kept hitting him. And finally, the guy behind the counter was like, no, you got to stop. You got to stop. You got to stop. Finally, they get him to stop. And they're like, "Well, you're going to hold him until the police get here." And he's like, "Just let me go. Just let me go." So I think they actually let him go. I told him he could never come back inside again. He walked off. He walked off just fine. I'm sure he's going to have some bruises. I'm sure he was in pain. But I guarantee you, he will probably never do that again. In that store, at least. But the brazen idea that you can just walk in and start taking stuff from somebody needs to stop. It just needs to end. There needs to be some respect for people's lives and respect for people's livelihoods. But that's the culture we live in right now. Yeah, that's how you get shot in some people's houses. I saw a guy the other day. This is another video. It was interesting. Well, it wasn't on YouTube. It was like a concealed carry thing. And this guy, he wasn't Lyft. It was ride share or something like that. It was some kind of a ride sharing thing. I don't know if it was Uber, Lyft or something. It was something. And of course, these guys, now this is the tough part you get into. These guys got into his car. One guy gets into his car on the passenger side in the back seat. The other guy is standing on the driver's side, and he acts like he's going to get into the back seat. And then he kind of stands there. The guy who gets in the back seat presses something up against the guy's neck. The guy thought it was a gun. Well, this guy was armed. The driver was armed. He actually had two guns. He had one in his door, and he had the other one in his, I think it was actually stashed somewhere else in the car. The guy who was standing next to the car then opens the driver's side door and is going to try to pull this guy out. And he kind of put up a little bit of a struggle. In the process of getting pulled out of the car, he's thinking this other guy's got a gun on his neck. He thought that's what it was. The way the guy approached him, he pushed this thing on his neck, and he felt like the guy's put a gun on my head. They wanted to carjack the guy. On his way out the door, he grabs the gun that is in his car door, points it at the guy who's standing there. That guy raises his hands, turns around, runs off screaming. He then turns around and points the gun inside the car with the guy that he thought had a gun. And that guy ends up turning around, running and screaming. All he had they figured out later, it was a cell phone. Interestingly enough, he dropped the cell phone and some of his other items that he could identify himself with and ran off. Interestingly enough, there was a lawyer involved in the conversation, and the lawyer said, had he shot that, if he would have punched the trigger on either one of those guys, the outcome of this whole thing would have been totally different. The reason being, because the Castle Doctrine did not apply. Now, I have a real hard time with this, because if somebody pulls a gun, if I invite someone into my home and they pull a gun on me, the Castle Doctrine has just been reinstated, in my opinion. You pull a gun, if I invite you into my home and you pull a gun on me, guess what? You are no longer welcome in my home, and you will face the barrels. And you won't know which way they came from. That's all I'm going to say is, you've now taken your life into your own hands. You just made a big mistake. And you might injure me, but you're not going to do it again. You're not going to do this ever again to anybody else. So what really concerned me was that this lawyer said, yeah, there wouldn't have been a Castle Doctrine at that point had you shot into the car with that guy in there, even if he had a gun. Now, I'm saying I had no place else to run. There was no place else for me to go, and the guy's got a gun and he's pointing it at me. Yeah, the trigger's going to be pulled. You'll be taking the room temperature challenge. That's the way it's going to work. Exactly. You've decided. You made the decision that my possessions are worth you losing your life over. That's exactly what it is. So this is the kind of culture we've raised, though, that this is kind of the kind of thing that happens. Now, I had a situation in Nashville, Tennessee. Me and a buddy of mine were walking back to a hotel room from where we were traveling, and walking back to our hotel, and this, we'd gone over to an Arby's to get something to eat, walking back to the hotel, climbing up this little hill to get in the parking lot. And four guys come out of the tree line. I just thought they were walking from point A to point B. I kept on walking. I wasn't even hard to say. I just kind of looked them in the eye and said, hello, kept on going. How you doing? Whatever. These other two guys were kind of back further away in front of us. The other two guys, as they went past us, I see the shirts come up, the guys in front of us, the shirts come up, and there's gun handles sticking out of their pants, and they start drawing up and pulling, and they start drawing down on us. And before they could get the gun pointed at me, I was down the hill. I was running away. I said, nope, started heading back out of there. I thought for sure my buddy was following me. He apparently froze, but there was somebody following me. Just happened to be one of the other guys chasing me down the hill. Well, now I can't stop, because I'm running down a hill. He can't stop. I had this big sweet tea in my hand, so I threw that back. It apparently hit the guy in the face. I couldn't believe it. I threw it kind of on a whim. I looked at the thing, and I'm like, okay, I kissed my sweet tea goodbye, and I just tossed the thing at the guy. Sure enough, it smacked him in the side of the head. Almost made me laugh. I couldn't believe I hit him. He was chasing me down the hill. Now, there's a lot of things that go through your head. Yeah, nice shot. Wish I would have been muriatic acid or something. That would have been more fun. But the guy kept chasing me down onto the sidewalk, kept chasing me. I was running. I was probably 40-some years old at that time. This kid's probably 19, 20 years old. And I'm thinking, okay, I'm only going to be able to run for so long here, and I'm going to get tired. I either need to turn around with the energy I have left right now, turn around and take my chance with this guy that he might have a weapon of some sort, and take him out. Or I need to continue to keep running and hope that he gives up. I thought of another option at that time, and that was to run out into traffic. See, the guy won't follow me into traffic. I went running out into the street. Cars flying by. I can dodge the cars. That's fine. I can do that. I'm running through the traffic. Of course, this is at night. Cars are kind of freaking out. And I guess somebody, one of the cars, nobody stopped. Nobody stopped at all to help me out. And somebody apparently made a phone call, though, to call 911. Hey, I think this guy's getting chased. Somebody's chasing him down. And I ended up making it back to the restaurant. And of course, I stayed at the restaurant. They called the police in the restaurant. I just kind of sat there till the whole thing was over. But the guy stopped chasing me, to put a long story short. And unfortunately, and after this was all over, there's like four of these kids. And all I wanted, this is not a racist comment, okay? This is not a racist comment. It's just a joke. I didn't even want these guys to go to jail. All I wanted was to have all four of their pictures put up on a billboard with a big statement on there that said, I was outrun by a 40-year-old white man. That's all I wanted for these guys. Because they would have never lived that down. They would have had to move out of their community. I think. I don't know. Maybe not. I don't know. Is that cruel of me to say that? I don't know. I think it would have been funny. Regardless of all that, folks, hey, I want to thank those who have participated in the chat this morning. Unfortunately, I have to finish up my week here. Next week, let's talk about next week. Monday, there will possibly be a show. Tuesday, possibly. Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday of next week, there will be shows. And probably Wednesday is going to be a live show again. That's the plan, is to try to make Wednesdays my live shows. I might have to go back to Fridays, because it looks like Fridays might actually, the rest of the year, might actually be open for me. So might do that on Fridays. But we'll see how the rest of August goes. But at this point, Wednesday of next week will be the live show. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, I should have shows. Possibility of having a show on Monday and Tuesday. We'll see how that goes. I'm just going to have to see what happens. I don't know. My schedule's crazy from Sunday on. So thank you. Is it Lunar Lina for all the comments and for all the show likes from other people as well. God bless everybody. Have a great weekend. Take care.